By the end of the day, we had noticed something not super surprising about the clientele of the Red Apple Deli.
Michael took the night shift. Remember, this bodega is on 143rd Street, which is not far from the border between Harlem, a traditionally black neighborhood, and Washington Heights, a mostly Dominican one.
But the makeup is changing. A customer named Johnny Nicholson helped explain.
When I moved here, this was a black neighborhood, and we had, it wasn't Dominicans, it was Puerto Ricans. Mm-hmm. Now we have more, we have a Dominican population, we have a black population, we have a Caucasian population now, Ecuadorians, you got Koreans, and I'm talking about living here now. Before, they didn't live here. And it's more, to me, it's more impersonal.
Impersonal.
We've seen this in other parts of New York City. New residents moving into affordable neighborhoods and upending the pre-existing cultural fabric. In the last 15 years, it's happened throughout downtown Manhattan and northern Brooklyn.
Bodegas in those neighborhoods often have the somewhat vague word organic on them. And that cultural fabric that once existed deeply knit Puerto Rican or black communities. They've essentially been gutted, all in the name of improving a neighborhood.
And now that process is underway in the area around Red Apple Deli. One customer, who calls himself JC the God, told us he's really lamenting the upscalification of the neighborhood.
And the fact of the matter is a lot of these, you know, affluent delis that give you your little bakery goods and offer you your almond milk, whatever. I'm not mad at that, right? But you can't compete with that either.
But look at the almond milk right there.
But see, they're assimilating as well. So, and they're doing their
Even Ramon's Bodega, the bodegaist of bodegas, sells almond milk.
So on that note, long live the bodega.
He really is trying to keep up. Ramon actually has serious plans to upgrade the whole Red Apple Deli supermarket. He's even got a name for it.
And a green bodega. That's what we're going to call it, green bodega.
Green bodega, he says.
And I have it here. Let me see if I have it here, the design I showed you.
In the back office of the store, Ramon takes out a folder and flips to the very back.
I'm doing. You can look at it. That's going to be the future.
He's going to expand into this empty space right next door, set up a whole outdoor section with plastic covering.
This is the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what we want to bring in? More healthier stores.
A more healthy store, he says.
We're going to have, you know, water. We're going to have fruit, vegetables.
Fruit,
you know,
vegetables.
Juices. Carpet. We're going to plan into doing.
And a carpet.
I think you guys should put a dance club on the second floor.
So obviously, we're talking about the G word.
Gentrification.
Just like in Lower Manhattan and Brooklyn, as affordable uptown apartments start seeing newer, younger, generally whiter residents, the bodegas here will have to modify their merchandise, even their presentation, to cater to a shifting demographic, even if it's a more impersonal demographic.
I asked this guy, Dennis Corsi, about his bodega experience. Where are you from?
I'm from Michigan.
What do you think about the neighborhood?
I think this is a great neighborhood, and even in the last year and a half, there's been so much more things opening, and I was gone for a few months and came back. There were new bars and restaurants, so the rent is pretty affordable, and it's building up to be a really nice place.
Are you homies with the people who work here?
I mean, I see them all the time, but we don't really have more of a conversation than what I'm buying.
Now, if it sounds like we're saying all this is a bad thing, we're not. We're not taking sides. We know it's complicated. Here's blogger Dallas Penn again, who we featured earlier in the show.
Here's the beautiful thing about gentrification. With all the redevelopment of New York, you're still going to need people to pick up the bottles and cans and to drive the subways and the buses and pick up the garbage. And, you know, even with all this tremendous wealth that Manhattan has, you're going to need the opposite to balance that. The bodega has to remain. We cannot, we can't remove the function of the bodega, which is again, you know, providing affordable fare to working class people in Center City. Where, how are we going to feed people if we don't have any bodegas?
At the very end of the night at our bodega, things are far from impersonal.
I said, this is the only bodega that I could come and make my own sandwich.
There's just one customer, JR, and two employees, Jose Ramon working the cash register, and Pedro cleaning in the back.
When the boss don't want to do my sandwich, he's like, come, go ahead, make your own sandwich. This is the only bodega. God is the boss.
It really does feel like the home that Ramon says he's trying to create. The Red Apple Deli supermarket closes every night at 1 a.m. And so, without much fuss, Jose Ramon slips me a free candy bar, shuts off the lights, quietly kicks us out, and closes the bodega.